Please be seated. You know what, today, I don't know how many of these we have back there, but this is a CD that we made. I know many of us don't have CDs in cars anymore, even have one at home. But this CD was made with Lynn Doling. Of course, Laney and Doyle were on the praise team. And if you remember Dr. MacGyver, she was on the praise team. And we had a big golf tournament. And so with that golf tournament money, we recorded this album. And then on the next golf tournament, we built a fence. And so I was so thankful for all those things. But for those of you that don't have this, there's a lot of good songs in it. I want you to pick one up. I've asked Anthony to put them out there. We'll give them away today. And so make sure one to a person, and he'll save a couple of them. But they've been here a long time, so I want you just to have one. If you don't have one, believe me, you'll enjoy it. I want to just make a few comments. That's one of my favorite songs that we do called If God Builds the House. Nobody, nothing, no demons from hell can tear it down. Nothing, nobody. And so we've been here 29 years, and we've been blessed to be together. I was just thanking the praise team earlier for being so faithful over the years, and some of us have been here, I think, all the entire time together. And so many of you as well. One pastor told me, he says, now when we first founded the church and we were off to a good start, and it was during the end of the 90s and the beginning of the 2000s, by the way, we were founded in the 1900s, and some of you, like me, were born in the 1900s. And so, but we've stayed together, and we've been blessed, and we've reached almost three decades. We went through a pandemic. 10 of our leading people died. There's been challenges along the way. There's been pain. There's been hurt. There's been great things. There's been seasons of revival. And there's been visions and dreams from some of you. And I think of all the people that God sent us over the years. And it was just like it talked about in the book of Chronicles. And I want to go there in just a minute, Tiff, if you'll find me. 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter. And I want to share something with you right there. This pastor told me during those days, he said, you know, he said, a few years are going to go by, and he says, you're only going to have 5% of the people left that started with you. And I thought, not true. That won't happen at Landmark. He said, no, it will happen. There's others that will come. But he said, because God has new churches in a season, and he sends people there to make everything happen. So I just want to tell you that during the time of this founding, we set up board members, a board of advisors. I think, Brother Mike, we were about 9 months into it, maybe, or maybe. No, we started Kids Church 9 months into it. But the board was set up, and I'll be forever grateful to Brother Mike Boudreaux. Mike, will you stand? And those of you that were with us when we started, would you please stand? Keep standing. All of you that were with us from the beginning. Gina Wiggins, of course, lived right across the street, and her husband. Thank you, guys. Oh, you can keep standing, though, if you can. But Cliff Wiggins, I mean, he came over and set up their chairs. They were the first ones there, and of course, Sarah, she had no choice. She was just here from the beginning and all of it. But Art and Lynn, I thought you were here. You were Johnny Come Latelys? About a year later. How many came a year later? Were you? You were here. All right. Well, stand up. Let us add to this 5% number, 2%, 1%. Gosh, Ryan, you were just like this during those days. So anyway, I'll stop right there. But Thurman, God bless you, all of you. Sister Linda, she had no choice. She's my sister-in-law. But I guess she did have a choice. But Kathy, you were here. Amen. Kayleen, you and Dwayne were charter members too. But with Mike on that board, we had Don Phillips, who was also a wonderful businessman, worked for Caltrans. And we had Greg Woodard, who was a builder, built all over Porterville, Bakersfield, and Tulare. But we didn't have him build the church, though he may have given us, you know, a good rate. But I thought our relationship was more important than him building the church, so we didn't do that. We had Diane Miller, who was a banker, and she was a blessing. And Bertha Hearn, oh my goodness, Bertha Hearn, what a blessing. She was an educator, but wise from her birth, I think. But anyway, thank you guys. You can be seated. Give them one more big hand clap. I love you and appreciate you, and I appreciate God even more and all that he did for us. Let me show you kind of where it started with me right here. And I want to show you this video or this slideshow here in just a moment. But Tiff, if you can give me 1 Chronicles chapter 28. I was so honored and I was so humbled when the Lord spoke this to my heart in 1995. Verse 10, we were out on the road. Lainey and Doyle had already come home and started working in Bakersfield. And this is what he spoke to me, this very verse. 1 Chronicles 28:10. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary, and be strong and do it. Well, that's all I had to hear. I thought, well, I don't have to know how to do it. All I have to know is to get a word from the Lord. Okay, so I had that. Now, this is David talking to his son Solomon about what he was going to do, but God also speaks to us, so through his word. So, I want you to see, well, let me get some notes here. I did make a few so I wouldn't go all over today and leave us here all day long. Oh, yeah. Look at verse 21. Here was a promise he had, so I knew I'd be all right. Look at verse 21. Here are the divisions of the priests and the Levites for all the service of the house of God. For every willing craftsman will be with you for all manner of workmanship, for every kind of service. Also, the leaders and all the people will be completely at your command. I'll tell you, we had some of the greatest craftsmen here, including all of our board members were craftsmen. And then we had Belma Morrow, who became our treasurer, bookkeeper, secretary. And she was second to none. She was the executive secretary for the president of Shell Oil. And how she got here with me, I'll never know. It just had to be a God thing. But she knew how to organize things and put it together. Michelle's not too far behind Velma. And thank you guys for being here today, Ryan, Zach, and Michelle. What a blessing these people were to us. And then today I have Miss Jeannie here, my sweet Jeannie, I forgot her daughter's, Larissa. So Jeannie was working at the bank that we banked at, and those people were God sent. God gave me Leonard Taylor, Monty Taylor, Sherwood Holmes. They were with me. We had the kids. I was talking to you guys about favor a while ago. We had total favor at the city of Porterville. Now, you know that's a miracle to get favor with those inspectors. And so we had favor with them and with all of these people that came alongside. And then we met when I was interviewing builders. We had Bob Bell from CETA Development. I heard about him in Bakersfield. And guess what? I knew the vision. The Lord had given me the plans. No one else had nothing to copy. I didn't copy any other church. I heard from the Lord, and that's what we did. And so when I heard about Bob Bell, they said he builds churches and barns. I'm like, what? Now, I have to tell you that maybe my heart was a little tender, or a lot, from being on the ranch with my family, and our home was built in the structure of a barn. It was a beautiful red barn, and maybe that had something to do with it, but I felt in my heart when I got the plans for it to build it in the structure of a barn and put a white corral fence around it. Now, what woman, widow woman, is going to build a church like a barn and put a white corral fence around it? Okay, if I really thought about it for a while, it would have been a little embarrassing, but I didn't let it because I loved where I lived and the life God had given me. And so we did that, and again, just me and Sarah was 16 at the time, and we just did it because God said, do it. And look at verse 11 there. He said, after he said, the Lord has chosen you to build a house, it says, and David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule. Well, no one gave me the plans, but God gave me the plans. And we're sitting in it today. It's a wonderful thing. You know, it was marvelous in his eyes, and I knew that it was him. I was talking to Jeannie today. She says, oh, I remember. I told her today was our anniversary. Oh, I saw this thing happen. I was at the bank. I was banking all this money. And we saved $100,000, I think, the first year to put down on the land. Second year, third year, we had $200,000 more to put down. So God just favored us. And kids, when you serve the Lord and you go off to school, remember this. His favor will rest upon you. Those of you that are starting businesses, you've got a business, begin to call upon the favor of the Lord. All right, I want you to see this. 29, we just read. 31, he said, I'll give you everyone you need to make it happen. And he did that. Of course he did it. Now look at 29, chapter 29 and verse 9. We're still in 1 Chronicles, verse 9. It says, then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly. Because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly. So they offered willingly to the Lord. They brought their craftsmanship, and they brought all their tools. They brought their money, their goods, their wares, whatever they had, and their means. And they put it together, and the Bible says that they offered it willingly. They were not selfish. They weren't afraid. Well, when they brought it all in, here's what David said. Look at verse 10. I'll try not to read all this to you, but Lord knows I could. David was so blessed with what had happened. Verse 10 says, therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. I just thanked a lot of people, but here's the big deal. He's the master. David said, Lord, blessed are you. Verse 11, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is whose? It's yours, Lord. Yours is the kingdom. O God, you're exalted as the head over everything, over all. Verse 12, both riches and honor come from you. We didn't get it ourselves. I know that you have jobs and you created businesses, but God said, I set you there to serve your community. See, you serve your community. Dean and Carl, you serve other people by taking care of their kids, by being care providers that you are, Miss Kathy. He says, I did that. I brought both riches and honor to you, and you reign over all. And your hand is power, O God, might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now we got down the road. 29 years. And those business people, a lot of those business people we had then are gone. They were here for a season. And those business people came in. But now we're in 2025, we got more business people. Guess what? It was Roman. It was D. Garcia. It was Kathy Lewis who bought those. Those were $2,000 a piece. With all the goodies that have to go to make it work. Now we need some other things, and that's where we're all going to give in to today. But I just want to bless the Lord here because it says all of it is his. You reign over it all and he gives strength to us all. So I thank God for not only you, but the rest of you who have given into your church every single Sunday. Every single Wednesday. Some give more, some give a little, but it's based on what we have, what we give. We all can't give the same thing. That's not going to happen. But look at verse 13. Now, therefore, our God, oh, say this with me. We thank you. Would you say that with me? Lord, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But look at this, verse 14. This humbles me. It's so sweet. Look at verse 14. But who am I? And who are my people? Or God, who are your people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? Who are we that we would be able to even give in to your work and to your kingdom? For all things come from you. And look at this one. And of your own we have given you. This that you and I are giving him today? You say, that's my own. No, he just told you. We're not giving out of our own. He said, God, we are, let me read it right, the end of verse 14. And of your own we have given you. It was yours. We're just giving it back to you. Verse 15. Oh, no, I don't want to read 15. Let's cut it a little shorter. Look at verse 17. I know also, God, that you test the heart, and you have pleasure in uprightness. And as for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered these things. We don't give selfishly. We're not giving today with fear in our hearts. Oh, if I give this $10, I'm going to miss it. We're not giving with fear. We're not giving with I won't have enough and being all selfish. As for me and the uprightness of my heart, I willingly, oh, I'm happy, willingly offering these things. And now with joy, I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. Hallelujah. I'm looking at his people that says, I'm willing to, Pastor. How many's willing today to give to him? It's about him. Verse 18. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our fathers. Woo, I ask him this over and over this week. Keep this forever in the intents of your thoughts, of the heart of your people, and fix their heart towards you. Lord, keep the intents of our hearts and mind. Okay, one more thing. Please go over to Second Chronicles. Chapter 7, verse 15. This is, I founded us on this verse right here, on these two verses. Now, God speaking, now, my eyes will be opened and my ears attentive to the prayers made in this place. He's done that, hasn't he? His ears have been attentive to us. His eyes have seen us. Look at verse 16. This is it. For now I have chosen and I've sanctified this house, and my name, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Perpetual just means to go on and on and on and on. So when you look at these two verses, he's got his eyes involved, his ears involved, his name is involved, and his heart. His heart is involved in his eyes. And church, it don't get any better than that. If that's all I got was that verse right there, I would just be as happy as I could be to know that his eyes and his ears and his heart and his name is over this house. How many remember me giving that back to you back in 1996? His eyes and ears and his heart over this house. And it's true, it has been. So, kids, I want you to look. You may think this building, most buildings are made out of wood, not this one. This building was made out of metal. And so I'm going to show you these slides. You might see some people you know. So if you'll dim the lights, you're going to see how it started. I want to say every time you turn on TBN, you're going to be seeing or people on Christian TV, people that's been here. We had some of the greatest speakers in the world come to Landmark. But after a while, I realized we filled the sanctuary, and it was overflow crowds, but then I didn't see it evangelistic. I didn't see the crowd, you know, people staying. They just came and went. So I thought, well, we're spending a lot of money there. So it's a little different now since COVID. People used to come without demanding an offering. Now they have to say, I need this much, and it can be a lot. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and receive our offering. Let me tell you, this offering, we've asked everybody that can to give $300. I know some of you are ready to give that. Some will give more, and some will give less. But we are going to be thankful for every single penny, dollar, check, anything that comes. We will be so grateful for that. We want to improve and enhance our services, catch up with the times, and we still need some computers, and we got the large screen TVs. We're going to enhance that sound booth and do some much-needed lighting in here and out there, some painting. We need a crowd microphone for recording, and maybe we could go back to recording online if we had some better equipment. So we're going to be doing a lot of things here, but I want to say, not only is this like a renovation, but it's a step of faith. I mean, this giving is an act of faith, especially when you're operating on less. Some of you have been worried about that. Somebody told me this morning, Pastor, it just came right out of nowhere. I got my $300, and I was praying that you would. But whatever you have, we want you to give. But we were aiming at $20,000. And I just pray that the glory of the Lord will come in. If we got 30, that we used to raise 30,000 every single year. Maybe it's oh ye of little faith. The congregation is a little less. So anyway, thank you. We've already these guys have already given the money to take care of these. Michelle, I will ask you to give us a total on what's already come in, so that we can add that to this total. So are you all ready to give? Let me tell you something. This church was founded and built without hardly any hiccups. We built on time, on schedule, and on budget. Absolutely. It was the most astounding, godly thing. Helen was here, and she sung a song. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. And it was marvelous to see what the Lord did. And my husband and daughter are going to be with the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, had they not gone, I doubt that this house would be here. I mean, God didn't cause that. He received them when they got there, but he didn't cause that car accident with a drunk driver. But I'll tell you this, he used it. How many know that all things work together for good? He told me during that day, he said, I will set you with a large family. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I don't want to remarry some man with 10 kids, please. Now, I thought maybe, but it never happened, thank God. And so here we are, but you're my family. You're my children, and I love you all so much. I had a big boot that I was going to bring. All week I thought of bringing that boot, but I knew I needed someone to go and clean it up and wash it out, and I was afraid a mouse might come out. Because it was out by the pool, and you men are all so busy, I just didn't want to ask any of you to do it, so it's still sitting out there, and we don't have no boot to give into today. So I just wanted to bless him and Jamie today, and bless them, and I know they're rooting for us down here, but thank you for loving my family, and for giving into God's house.
It's been really bad, and as we were singing that song, I was like, Lord, you are a healer. And I just felt warmth all over my back.
Ah.
And it's fine. I went like this. Woo. I'm like, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. It's been really bad. So thank you, Jesus.
Wow, how long had it been that way?
Well, I have had situations since I was little, but it's been bad all week. My husband knows I have hardly been. I've had ice on it for 3 days. I've hardly been able to get out of bed. I've hardly been able to. I didn't know if I'd be able to go to work tomorrow. This morning, I'm like, Lord, I'm going to church. Even though I'm hurting, I'm going to church. And he healed me.
Praise God. Wow. So, I believe he could heal somebody else, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, including my knee.
Yes, amen.
I don't want to have a knee replacement. So if you need healing, stand on your feet. Yes, this is our anniversary. Maybe God just wants to bless and heal us. Amen? You need healing? Stand up. Yes. I want you to pray for him. Okay?
Dear Lord, yes. We come before you. We thank you for this day, Lord.
Yes,
we thank
Lord.
You for all that you've done in this place, Lord, for your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are our healer and you want to heal us. It's your
yes,
will, Father.
Yes,
so touch these, Ooh, Lord, your
yes,
people,
Lord.
Your children, Lord, with your healing power, Lord God. I pray that your love and your blood,
yes,
Jesus,
Lord.
Would cover them, cover
yes.
their bodies, their knees, their backs, their minds, Lord God, their families, Lord
yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah,
I speak
yeah.
healing in your name, Jesus. We praise you and we know, Father, that it is your will. And we praise you ahead of time, Lord God. We come willing, Lord God, knowing that you're going to show up in our situations, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for this day and for your faithfulness to this house, Lord, for our pastor. And I just pray healing for pastor's knee, Lord Jesus, that you would touch
yes,
her, Lord
no.
God. Restore, Father, restore in Jesus' name. Restore everything, Lord God, that the enemy has tried to
Hallelujah.
Steal, Lord God. Restore it in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, why don't you try to do something you couldn't do before? Come on. If the Lord touched you, raise your hand. If he healed you. All right, let's let it cook. Amen. Debbie, you feeling better? All right. Have a seat for just a minute. Now, I want to tell you, I got this at Tuesday morning, very early in the morning, 2:33. And it's a message that is dear to my heart. Take this, D. I don't need two. Okay. But this is about Ruth and Naomi. Let me be brief. Ruth and Naomi, Naomi was married, she had a husband, and then they had two boys, and now the young men were grown up, they were grown men. So then dad decides he wants to leave Judah, which means the house of bread, it was abundant. And yet dad decides he wants to move down to Moab. So he wants to get away from there, he wants to go to Moab. So Moab means... Moab means a far away place. And so when they got down there, a famine, not very long after, a famine hit. And it was famine. And I mean, there was nothing left. There was nothing there. And now Naomi's husband died and the two sons died. So now she's got two daughters-in-law and herself. And are they stricken with poverty? They have nothing. Now Naomi hears through the grapevine that things have turned around up at Judah, and so they're going to go back up there, and they said that bread is abundant. So here's Naomi and Ruth. Now they had to walk. They walked everywhere. And so those women, a widow, a woman, and her daughter-in-law, they walked back up. They were worn out and tired and dirty. And when they got there, the young lady says, Mom, she says, I'll go try to find us something to eat. And the Bible says that Naomi told her daughter, says, well, go down there to the barley field. It's not far from here. And everybody in town was, listen to this. They were so happy to see Naomi come back to town. She's an older woman now, but now she went away full with a husband, two boys, and now she comes back empty. Well, when she was coming back, the town is all excited to see her, and they're saying, here comes Naomi. Here comes Naomi. We're so happy to see you. She says, don't you dare call me Naomi. She said, I went away full, but I'm coming home empty. Just call me bitter. She says, my name is Myra. Just call me Myra. I changed my name to bitter. Now listen, I heard the Lord saying to tell you, do not be changing your name. Don't be changing it to bitter or I'm unhappy or I'm this or I'm that. No, because God had a plan for these women, okay? So they, just like he did for me when my family left, just like he did for you and all the junk you've been through. But I wanted to say, here's what I saw, and I don't want to put a damper on anything. But I saw us, you and me, just plain old tired, worn out, tired. These women had spent it all. They had nothing. They barely just probably had rags that they were wearing. They were dirty and felt totally hopeless. Maybe a little depressed. I don't know. But things were not good for them. So little Ruth, she goes down, I don't know, maybe in her early 20s. She goes down and starts working in this field. And while she's working in the field, she's happy. She says, if I can just pick up some barley, you know, all the field workers were out there. If I could just pick up some barley at the edge of what those girls are, picking. She said, I'll just pick up the leftovers. Well, here rides up the owner of the field. His name is Boaz, and he is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So here comes Boaz riding on his horse, and all of a sudden, listen, when God is in it, like I told you, God's eyes see you, his ears hear you, his heart loves you. Remember a couple of years ago, we read out of Deuteronomy, I love you, I bless you, and I will multiply you. I love you, I bless you, and I'll multiply you. Not just one, but all of us. So here goes this little girl, little young widow woman. She gets out there, and the Bible says, I'm not going to read it, just save time. But the Bible says that she just happened, say it with me, she just happened to come into Boaz's field. So she just happened to get in the right place at the right time. Now listen, God knows how to get us to the right place at the right time with the right people to accomplish his will and his purpose in our lives. So don't ever get full of hopelessness on that. So she goes there. Boaz rides up, and he said, who is that young woman over there? She was a pretty girl, too, so that may have had something to do with it. He said, who is that woman over there? And those field workers said, Boaz, you know, we don't really know. But they said, we know she came back with Naomi. And they said, she has been such a good worker. She's been working from sun up to sun down, except for just a little rest. And she went over there in the shade tree and got some rest. He says, listen, from now on, I want you to let her eat at our table. And I want you to give her water. Give her as much water as she wants. And then I'm going to read this to you because this is so important. Tiffany, give me Ruth. Did I tell you to go to Ruth? Ruth chapter 2. You all, if you're not familiar with this story, you need to just read the book of Ruth. It is just so absolutely godly and amazing. Give me a Ruth chapter 2, verse 14. Oh, wait, because I want you to read it with me. All right. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied, and she kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. In other words, don't flirt with her, don't come after her, don't try anything. All right, just leave her alone. Verse 16, here's what I want you to see. Also let grain, he's telling the field workers, let grain fall from the bundles. Let it fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her. The old King James says, leave handfuls of purpose. In other words, just leave handfuls of barley on purpose. Leave it on purpose. And she looks at Boaz and she says, why are you giving me such favor, sir? I don't deserve this. Why are you being so good to me? Why would you favor me like this? And you see, she hadn't done anything. Nothing. Except just happen in to that field. Now look at this. She says, why have you done this to me? Let me find it here. Boaz said, now you stay close to this field. Stay close. Okay, verse 11, Tiff. That's what I wanted to read. Verse 11. She says, why have I found favor in your sight, in your eyes, that you should take notice of me? Because I'm just a foreigner. I came from a field where they're all idolaters. They do idol worship. Why would you care about me, Mr. Boaz? Woo, some of you are going to love this. Look. Verse 11. And Boaz answered, he said, this is why, little girl. And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law. Since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and you have come to a people whom you did not know. Now look at this. The Lord will repay your work, and a full reward will be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Hallelujah. He said, I'll tell you why I gave you a favor, because I saw the way you treated your mother-in-law. I saw the way you care provided for your brother, Niles. I saw the way you took care of mom when she had Alzheimer's, or dad, Teresa. I thought of you the other night. And the cross you bore with your son, and then grandpa, and then your daughter going to be with the Lord. The Lord called your name. He called many of your names. And the price that you've paid, and all the things, Laura, that you've given to your children not knowing what to do. Oh, I could sit here and just name you all from the stuff that you've done and you've given, and even today what we've done. But he just wanted me to remind you. You don't have to do much to make him happy. Just a little attention to him or one of his kids, and he is just overjoyed. And so he said to tell you, he saw it. Remember how Jesus would sit at the temple and watch the offering buckets? Oh, he blessed the little widow that gave the mite, and he blessed the wealthy that gave the great. But he said to let you know that you would be fully rewarded. The Lord will repay your work. You that take care, like Sharon and Gina did, take care of other people's children. You know what you've done. I wouldn't dare try to call up, but you just look back over your life and see where you've been. See what you've taken off of people. See the favor he has given you. He said the Lord will repay you for your work, and a full reward will be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Amen? We have come for refuge. I'm going to stop right there because I could go on and on about that story. But, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves us. Chris, you still there? Why don't we give him that little love song that we founded the church on this. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his handsome countenance toward you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.